Well, good morning.
It's a great day to be in the Lord's house today. I mentioned this last week, but I'm not Brother Chris. Continue to be in prayer for him as he's away. And just thankful that we can continue to gather together to worship the Lord. Be sure, as I mentioned last week, to grab a bulletin, check that out, make sure that you're keeping up with everything that's going on there. I don't have that to read to you this morning, but Y'all can do that. I've got faith in you. So I just want to read a few verses of Scripture as we get started. Will likely be familiar to you from Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever and his faithfulness to all generations. Let's pray. God, I'm so thankful for your word and how it reminds us of your goodness and your faithfulness to us. And God, how it challenges us and calls us to praise and worship you. For Lord, you and you alone are worthy. God, there is no one or nothing else that even comes close to you and your goodness, your greatness. Lord, your worthiness of our praise. So God, I pray that we would do just that today, Lord, that we would praise your name, that we would worship you in spirit and in truth through song and through scripture, God, through giving. Lord, there's so many different ways that we can worship you, so many different expressions of our worship. And God, I pray that we are a people who desire and long to worship you, Lord, desire and long for your presence. So God, be with us today. Lord, during this time and as we go from this place. But Lord, now I just pray that we would give this time to you. I thank you for Jesus, you sending your son to die for us. It's in his name that I pray. Amen. Would you stand as we lift our voices?
To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life and atonement for sin. And
great things he hath taught us.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
This is all my righteousness, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. Other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Amen. Y'all go ahead and have a seat. As we prepare to sing our next song, I just want to read one more verse to us this morning. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. This is Paul's letter to the church in Corinth. Verse 11 says, "For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus." So no matter what the world may have for us of, you know, we can try to build on worldly success, whether in business or in some other way, or financials. So many other things that the world would say, yes, that is what you need to build your life upon. That is what a successful life may look like. All of those things will pass away. The only true foundation that we have to build our life on that will last is Christ. No matter what the rest of the world may look like, if we have our lives built on Christ, we know that that is a firm foundation that will last, that will last forever as we reach eternity with Him. So let's keep these things in mind as we sing together.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We'll live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. We live for you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. Worthy of every song could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you.
We live for you.
Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Show me who you are and fill me with. there is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me.
Oh God, that is our prayer this morning. Lord, that we would be so filled with you, Lord, that there's no room for our flesh, that there's no room for our sinful desires, Lord, that we are so full of you that it can't help but just overflow in our lives, and that you would lead us to those around us that we could share you with them. God, that we are so full of you that we have to share. God, I thank you. God, I thank you for this time we've had this morning. Lord, I pray you continue to be with us, continue to bless our time together as we now hear from your word. God, I pray for Brother Carl as he comes. God, to give the words that you have given to him. Lord, I thank you for the blessing and honor of gathering together and worshiping you, Lord. Make us more and more like you. More and more like your son. It's in his name. Amen.
Man, I love singing about the blood of Jesus and how worthy he is, because it's all about him. Amen. Hey, listen, when I was a kid, about 20 or 30 years ago. Y'all going to let me get by with that? Yeah, I'm not quite that young. It was a little longer than 20 or 30 years ago. But when I was a kid, man, I did some stupid stuff. Y'all going to let me take that all by myself? And some of y'all did some stupid stuff. Amen. Can I get a witness? But we did some stupid stuff. I had a big brother and a little sister, and we used to, I'll just tell you how stupid I was, all right? I'm just going to lay it all out this morning. We used to shoot arrows straight up in the air and see how close they would come down and hit the ground around us. I mean, that was stupid. Y'all with me? Y'all, can I get just a head nod? That was stupid, right? One day we were throwing golf balls up in the air, and we were on the road. There wasn't a whole lot of traffic. Maybe we were playing in the street. That was real stupid, wasn't it? We'd throw these golf balls straight up in the air, and we'd see how high they would bounce when they hit the road. And when you throw a golf ball straight up in the air, it's going to come back down. You understand gravity, right? And so this golf ball, these golf balls were coming down, they were bouncing on the road. We were out there one day doing this, and as we were looking up, me and my big brother and my little sister, and as we were looking up, this golf ball comes down and hits my little sister right in the eye. I mean, that hurts just thinking about it, right? And so my little sister, of course it hurt, right? My little sister, she just kind of goes into a panic, and again, it's her. She's in pain, and she's screaming and yelling, I can't see, I can't see. And she was just frantic, and my big brother walked over there, and he said, Candy, 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 her sister, her name was Candy, my little sister. And he walked over there, and he says, Candy, Candy, open your eyes. Because she had both her eyes closed while she was yelling, I can't see, I can't see. Here's the point of that story. In order to see, we have to open our eyes. Amen? Physically. We have to open our eyes to be able to see. And on a spiritual level this morning, I want you to know that If you want to be able to discern God's will, we have to open our spiritual eyes to be able to see Him more clearly. Amen? I want to continue this morning with the question that I started last week. How can you be sure that a decision that you make is in the will of God? Last week, my statement was that you will know and obey the will of the one you worship. And we talked about worship for just a little bit, and I said three things. In order to be a worshiper of God, what do you have to do? Number one, you have to seek His will. You have to surrender to His will. You can't just know it. You have to surrender to His will. And then you need to serve according to His will. And we talked about that. If you missed that, I think you might go back and be able to get that online. But the title of my message today is Open My Eyes to See. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 9. And if you want to turn there in your Bibles, and I hope that you do. Here's my statement today. God makes His will known to those who see Him clearly. God makes His will known to those who see Him clearly. You guys probably all know that when we are born spiritually blind. We cannot see God because we don't have His Holy Spirit within us. The God of this world, the little g God of this world, our enemy, He has blinded our eyes. We'll talk more about that here in just a minute. But that's where Jesus comes in. When I was 16 years old, I received spiritual sight. I was at church one Sunday night when all of a sudden, as the preacher was preaching, the Spirit of God, because it's all about what He does, amen? The Spirit of God enlightened my soul, and He helped me to understand that I was a sinner. And that I had sin in my life, and my sin had separated me from a holy God. And He gave me the understanding that Jesus Christ went to the cross and He poured out His blood for me. Not just to cover, we say that His blood covers our sin, but not just to cover our sin. But the Bible says that when we are saved, we receive the Holy Spirit of God, but His blood, the power of His blood takes our sin away. The Bible says He casts it as far as the east is from the west. That's a long ways. Amen? Right? Yeah, it's a long. I don't even know how far that is from the east to the west. On that day, the Holy Spirit opened my eyes and God saved me. When He did that, Jesus took all of my sin out. And He put all of His Spirit in. Amen. I don't know about you, but I have joy to the understanding that His Spirit lives in me, the author of this book we call the Bible. Amen. I don't know about you, but that gives me great joy to know that He lives in me to help me with understanding. But when I received Christ as my Savior, and I was saved, I became a new creation. That's what the Bible tells us. And then when I got saved, what I saw, my vision of what I was seeing changed. I saw everything differently. My whole complete worldview changed. And if your worldview doesn't change when you get saved, something is wrong. Listen, so what about now? Some 50 years later. You know, we just get saved and then we're done, we're finished, we've got a ticket to heaven, so we just go live our lives like we want to, right? Here's where y'all go like this, right? No, we don't do that. You guys know that. Listen, but the question is, you know, when I'm first saved, I'm cleaner, I'm more holy than I ever have been and that I ever will be again in my life. Because after I'm saved, the Bible tells us we continue to sin. We should sin less and less and less as we go through our Christian life. That's called sanctification. We become more and more holy. We're supposed to if we take care of the spiritual disciplines in our lives. But what about, again, for me, 50 years, nearly 50 years after my salvation, can I still discern God's will in my decisions? And have I done the things as far as spiritual disciplines that it takes to allow me to still see God clearly and to know His will? Listen, here's the thing. I want to make sure that you understand that salvation is nothing that I do. I want to make this clear this morning. It's everything that Jesus Christ did on the cross. He's the one that purchased my salvation. There's nothing I did to be saved except I believe, and God gave me the faith to believe. So it's all on God to save me. But after we're saved, I need and I desire. If you're saved, you have a desire to seek the things of God. You may not be obedient in that, but you have that desire, right? And so what we need to do is we need to take that desire and be obedient to it. Spend time in the Word. Spend time with God. I want us to look this morning at the prayer that Jesus gave us in Matthew chapter 6, that the model prayer, just to ask some questions that will help us with trying to figure out if a decision that I make is in God's will or not. If you would you stand as we read this morning, beginning in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. We're going to read a few verses, and then we're going to skip down and read a couple of more this morning. This is God's Word, and the Bible says in Matthew 6, 9, Jesus says, "Pray then like this, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." I'm going to skip down to verse 22. Jesus says this. He says, "The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light." What happens with light? What do we do with light? It enables us to see, right? Your whole body will be full of light. And in verse 23, "But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is that darkness?" Would you pray with me this morning? Father, we come again to You, Lord, the only way that we can come to You, and that's in the name and by the blood of Jesus. And Father, this is Your Word. And Lord, it's Your Spirit that shapes us and molds us. So Lord, I pray that You would do that today. Lord, You call preaching foolishness in Your Word. But Lord, You say it's by the foolishness of preaching that men are saved. And Lord, that we grow and we're shaped by that. So Lord, I thank You for the great privilege we have this morning to be in this place under the teaching of Your Word. And so Lord, allow Your Spirit to do His work in this place today. I pray, Father, that You would remove all distractions. Anything that the enemy wants to destroy this morning, I pray, Lord, that You would break apart and allow us to sense Your power and Your presence, Your peace, and Your glory. Thank You, Lord, for every man and woman and child that's here this morning. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I want you to know that throughout my life, I have taken a number of steps in order for me to see clearly. When I was 7 years old, I wasn't doing good in school, and so my mom and dad knew that something was wrong, and so they got to visiting with my teacher, and they realized that I couldn't see the chalkboard. Back then we had chalkboards. I mean, it kind of tells you a little bit about my age. Anybody know what a chalkboard is? Y'all been there, right? And so they determined that I couldn't see what the teacher was writing on the chalkboard because my eyes, there was something wrong. And so I went to the eye doctor, and they gave me glasses. And so when I was 7 years old, I got glasses, and I first put them on, and I walked out of the eye doctor's office, and I looked down the street, and it was like a whole new world to me. And I could see signs that were a block away, and I could actually read them. Because I just thought that everybody saw the same way that I did. So I got those glasses when I was 7. And then when I was 18, I was tired of glasses, so I got contact lenses. And so I wore these contact lenses for about 40 years, and when I was 57, I kind of got tired of wearing contacts all the time, so I went and had this LASIK surgery on my eyes so that I could see clearly. And it was a progression through the years of steps that I took, different steps that I took to maintain my vision of clarity physically. So I'm going to ask this question to you and to me this morning. What am I doing to maintain my spiritual sight? What am I doing to maintain my spiritual sight to help me to see God's will in the decisions that I consistently make throughout my life? Am I spending time with God? Am I putting that on the schedule? Listen, we schedule everything, right? At least I do. If you don't schedule time to be in the Word of God, the enemy will make sure that you don't spend time in the Word of God. Y'all know exactly what I'm talking about if you're saved. Amen? But I want us to look at some questions this morning that we can ask as we seek to see and understand the will of God in the decisions that we make. So the first question, number one, does it lead to holiness? Does it bring glory to God? Because that's what our holiness does. Our holiness brings glory to God. Or does it bring glory to me? I don't know about you, but I'm just bad. Y'all don't know me, so you can't really agree with that, right? Because you hadn't been around me much. But I'm just a bad person. And here's the thing that happens, is that I can know and I can understand the will of God, but my flesh oftentimes don't want to obey. Anybody with me? All right, so I'm the only one. Okay, I see how it is. Listen, there's a struggle, isn't there, between our flesh and our spirit life. I want you to see this morning how Jesus starts out this model prayer again. In verse 9, he says, pray then like this, our Father in heaven, hallowed be what? Your name. Whose name is he talking about there? God's name, right? The name of God. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Hallowed means to make holy. And listen, we know that God's name is already holy, so why would Jesus tell us to pray this prayer and say, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name? Because he's talking about in our life, in our prayer life, are we in ourselves making God's name holy in me? Does the world around you see the holiness of Jesus coming out of you? We talked about that a little bit last week. Listen, that's how I make God's name holy in my life, is by allowing people to see Jesus through me. Isn't that great? It through my actions, through the words that I speak. Listen, and that is the will of God for me. 1 Thessalonians 4:3 says the will of God is your sanctification. You guys know what sanctification is. It's the continual, never-ending work of God to make you holy and to make me holy so that we will make the name of God holy. Have y'all seen that movie, The Blind? The movie about Phil Robertson, the Duck Dynasty guy, The Blind. Have y'all seen that movie? There's a scene in this movie where Phil Robertson, he just passed away here recently, most of you know, but there's a scene in this movie where the preacher is sitting down with Phil Robertson behind his old beat-up trailer house, and Phil Robertson is finally to the place. The Holy Spirit of God has been working on his heart and his mind, and he is at a place of surrender. And so he's sitting down with this preacher, And he says, okay, what do I got to do? Hey, I'm ready. I'm surrendered my life. I want to surrender my life. Now, what do I got to do? And if you've seen the movie, you may remember this. The preacher looked at him and he said, you got to die. You got to die. And I'm sure Phil Robertson was thinking, whoa, wait a minute. But he says, you got to die. And what did he mean? Listen, what he meant when he said that is he was telling Phil that you have to remove self-interest out of you, and you have to replace it with God's interests, with what brings God glory. And you do that by making God's name holy in you. Does the decision you're making lead to holiness? Does it bring glory to God? Number two, does this decision that I'm about to make, does it build His kingdom or does it build my kingdom? Well, I'm stepping all over it this morning, ain't I? Matthew 6:10, look at this. He says, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then skip down to verse 19. He says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Listen, what and where is His kingdom on this earth? Somebody say in His church, right? That's His kingdom on this earth. We are strangers. We are aliens here. This is not our home any longer after we're saved. His church is His kingdom on the earth. It's the body of Christ here on this earth. Will my decision take me deeper into the family of the body of Christ? Or will it capture, will it take me away from the body of Christ? Will it move me further away from the body of Christ? Will it free up my Sundays to come and worship with the rest of the body of Christ? Or will it take those Sundays away from me? Most of you know what Hebrews 10:24 says. It says, let us consider how to stir up one another, to provoke, to sharpen one another, to love and to good works, not neglecting to meet together. You know, I think about, anybody drink coffee? Two of you? Let's do that again. Anybody drink coffee? All right. I can tell you how I like my coffee, but yeah, I will. I like my coffee with a lot of cream. You guys that drink coffee black, y'all just ain't right. Don't hold that against me, amen. But listen, I think about when I read this verse about we are supposed to stir up. That's what this word is. And I think about those little thin, skinny wooden coffee stirrer things. What are they called? What? Stirrers. I just call them stirrers. Okay. But anyway, they're those little bitty things that you stir your coffee, and you know, you put that good creamer stuff in there, and then you pour a little milk on top of that, and then you put that in that coffee, and then you stir that up. Some of y'all just repulsed by that because you like black coffee. But listen, you take that stir stick and you stir it up, and what happens? It all just becomes mixed up, and it just makes it so good. Boy, I had a good cup this morning. I hope you did too. But listen, I think about those stir sticks. And here's the thing, church. You and I are supposed to be like those little stir sticks that we stir that coffee with in the church of Jesus Christ. We're supposed to stir each other up. We're supposed to sharpen each other. That's why this verse says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. And I'm preaching to the choir this morning, amen, because you're here, right? Listen, some people stir up trouble. That's not what Paul's talking about here, amen. Don't stir up trouble. We're supposed to stir up people, each other, to love and to good works. And listen, let me just bring this down to earth here. You know who those people are? They're your Sunday school teachers. Because they come every Sunday, Sunday in and Sunday out, to come in here and teach you the Word of God and to stir you up. Isn't that great? It's the door greeters that come here every Sunday and hand you a bulletin, or maybe say good morning and give you a smile and say, welcome to church, we're glad you're here. It's the nursery workers and the children's workers who come every Sunday and keep those little brats, I mean those little children, those lovely little children. Y'all don't hold that against me. This is my last Sunday, so what are we going to do, right? Listen, what do those people who keep your kids do? They watch those sweet little babies so that your parents can come to church and hear the Word of God and it can impact your life. Amen. They're steering it up in the church. It's the people who are on mission to reach the lost. Listen, that's our mission. Amen. To reach the lost. It's your preacher. Man, you need to be praying for your preacher. For me especially, but for also for Chris. Man, pray for Chris. Golly, he comes every Sunday. He preaches the Word to you, and he's trying to stir you up. But here's the thing. Again, y'all probably not like me, but it's so easy sometimes for me to forget these things. And if I'm teaching Sunday school or if I'm keeping the kids, I get up on Sunday morning and I'm thinking, man, Lord, I got to go keep those kids again this morning, or I got to go be a door greeter, it's my turn, or man, I got to go teach that Sunday school class. And those people just sit there like lumps on a log. And what do? We get frustrated in the work of Jesus Christ. Listen, don't do that. Man, you know what we ought to do? We ought to get up every Sunday morning and open our eyes and, man, the Holy Spirit of God fresh in our hearts and say, man, I get to go to church today and I get to keep those kids. I get to teach that Sunday school class because the Holy Spirit of God has compelled me to do it, and it brings me great joy. Man, church, let's not get grumpy about the work of God. It's counted a great privilege that you get to come into the house of God, that Jesus poured his blood out for on a cross. Praise God for the opportunity that we have in America, in this free country, to come and worship God and to participate in what he's doing in his church. Amen. Can I hear you? I just hope that this morning that you understand that you and I get the awesome privilege and opportunity to help build the kingdom of God. He wants us to participate with him in that work, and that's what we do when we just stir up. Amen. Does the decision you're making build his kingdom or your kingdom? Number three, does it hinder God's provision? Look at verse 11. Does it hinder God's provision? Verse 11 says, give us this day, what? Give us this day our daily bread. Did you know that God wants to bless you? Anybody know God wants to bless you? Raise your hand if you know God wants to bless you. All right, some of you are like, I mean, we're Baptists, right? It's difficult for us to raise our hands. All right, give us this day our daily bread. God wants to bless you. God wants to bless me, but at the same time, he wants to see our faithfulness at work. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, Paul, listen to what Paul wrote. I don't have it on the screen. He says, if anyone is not willing to work, let him not, what? Y'all know this verse? Let him not eat. Now, listen, that's pretty harsh, isn't it? I mean, maybe they made a mistake in the translation here. Is that a possibility? No. He says, if anyone's not willing to work, let him not eat. Listen, and boy, I could say a whole lot about that. I don't have time. Don't be lazy. Don't be lazy. Because it's real easy, and especially in America, we have life so easy. I've always said that what we need in America is a good dose of persecution on the church. I don't want that, but I think that that would bring the church, the true believers in the church, would bring them to life, and we'd start standing up for our faith and what we believe in. I've heard it said this way. Don't pray for a hole while you're leaning on the shovel. Did y'all catch that? Don't pray for a hole while you're leaning on the shovel. Listen, if you're praying for God to put a hole where you want a hole in the dirt, grab your shovel and start digging as you're praying for God to help you build the hole. Listen, if you know somebody, anybody know anybody that's lost? If you know somebody that's lost, first of all, pray for them. Amen? Pray for them because you can't save them, but God can. And it's the Spirit of God that brings people to Himself. But listen, He wants you to participate in it by praying that the Holy Spirit of God would move in that person. So you pray for them, but then what do? Don't be lazy. Okay? Don't be lazy. Go to them and tell them what Jesus did in your life. This is good preaching, whether y'all know it or not. Listen, go to them and tell them. And if you can't expound on what Jesus has done in your life, it may be that Jesus hadn't done much in your life because you're not letting Him. I better move on, hadn't I? Does the decision you're making hinder God's provision? Number four, does the decision you're making lead to bitterness or forgiveness? Does the decision you're making lead to bitterness or forgiveness? Matthew chapter 6, verse 12, look at it. He says, and forgive us our debts, our faults, our sins, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. The evil he's speaking up here is unforgiveness. Because look what he says next. He says, for if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. This is not talking about forgiveness for salvation. This is talking about forgiveness for clear sight to be able to see Jesus. You understand? Because see, here's the thing. Once we're saved, we're saved. A lot of people in the outside world there believe that Baptists think that once we're saved and we can just go live our lives however we want to. That is not true. That is not what we believe. We believe that when we're saved, we're changed. God changes our desires, so what we want to do becomes what He wants us to do. Right? If you're truly saved, that should be happening in your life. But the evil here in this text is unforgiveness. Did you know that bitterness grows as we hold on to unforgiveness? How many of y'all have had people do stuff to you or say stuff to you that just gets under your skin? Y'all gonna get used to raising your hands, aren't you? Did you know that unforgiveness is like drinking poison and expect the other person to die? Because you know who it hurts? It hurts you. Listen, some might say, well, you know what? They don't deserve to be forgiven. Did you? No. Did I? No. We don't deserve to be forgiven. That's why Jesus says, look, you need to forgive them for me to forgive you, because you didn't deserve it either. Many times, listen, church, you and I, we hold on to things that somebody has done or said to us, we hold on to. Let it go. Y'all seen that? I got 8 granddaughters, so I think about that song, Let It Go, Let It Go. All right, I digress. Listen, let it go. The only person that's hurting is you. The only person that hurts is me when I hold on to unforgiveness. And I keep thinking about those things. It's like, man, they did me wrong. And I can, when that stuff starts happening, it just says that Satan, not today. You will not tempt me. This is part of the Lord's Prayer. Lead me not to temptation, right? But deliver me from evil. What he's talking about is when the devil starts whispering things about what people have done wrong to you, to stir that back up. This is the wrong kind of stirring. To stir that back up in your mind so that you'll dwell on it and bitterness will grow, just kick him out. Y'all seen the little deal where the angel's sitting on one shoulder and the devil sitting on the other shoulder, or the fallen angel? Y'all seen those? Reach up and just flick him off your shoulder, because he has no authority over you if you're a child of the King. He has no authority. Don't give him any. Okay? Listen, it's a decision that we make in our minds, either to let it go or to hold on to it and let it destroy our witness. Unfortunately, some professing Christians go through life holding on to that stuff. It should not be that way for a child of the King. Does it lead to bitterness, or does it lead to forgiveness? Number 5, does it turn your eyes toward Jesus or away from Jesus? Look at verse 22 again. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye, this is what you see, is healthy, your whole body will be full of what? Light, right? Your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Listen to me. The only way, church, that you and I will succeed in this life of living for Jesus Christ is to know Him, and to know His will is to learn to see Him more clearly. If my eyes are not focused on God and the things of God, I will not live a life pleasing to Him in His will. Listen, you know Jesus said, if you love me, keep my what? Keep my commandments. Will my decision move me closer to God, or will it move me further away from God and being able to see? Does it conflict with His Word, the Bible? You know, many times the decisions that we have to make, the answer is right here. You just got to read it. I mean, I make that sound kind of simple, but that's it. How many of y'all have one of these? How many of y'all have 14 of these in your homes? Hey, I do. Listen, there's people in this world that don't have one copy of this. I saw this week where there's some people in China, and there was a mob of people. And they were giving out like 1,000 Bibles, and there was like 10,000 people here, and they were fighting to try to get to the place where they could receive a copy of God's Word. We take this so for granted. One day, I believe, church, we're going to stand before Jesus as Americans. The Bible says that we're going to give an account for what we do in the body, and we have more access to anyone in this world with the Word of God. And what do we do? Listen, the Ten Commandments. Do you know the first 4 commandments of the Ten Commandments are about loving God? You know what the rest of the 6 commandments are? They're about loving people. Listen, that's why Jesus kind of summed it up in the New Testament. He says, love God and love your neighbor. Because it covers all the Ten Commandments. If you'll look at it, you'll see that. Listen, here's the deal. The better we get to know a person, the more acquainted we become with his or her desires. The same is true in our relationship with God. As we walk with the Lord, obeying His Word and relying on His Spirit, that we find that we are given the mind of Christ. What do we do with the mind of Christ? We see Him more clearly. We hear Him more clearly. We have more power to obey His teachings. Listen, in all of your decisions, don't neglect to do the will of God that you already know. If we really know Jesus, we will increasingly see what He sees and will be transformed by renewed minds. Again, my statement. God makes His will known to those who see Him clearly. So let me ask you this morning, how is your spiritual sight? Listen, are there some things in your life that you need to make right with God this morning in order to be able to see Him more clearly? This is not between you and me. This is between you and God. Are there some things in your life this morning, maybe some things you've neglected, maybe some attitudes that you've had? Are there some things in your life that you need to get right with God this morning in order for your spiritual sight to be improving? Listen, so I think church, sometimes we don't understand how blessed we are to be saved. I want to read just a moment. I just want you to listen to this. This is Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and he's writing about unbelievers, those who are lost, those who never have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, those have never had the privilege of having the Holy Spirit indwell them. Here's what he writes. He says in verse 4 of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he says, in their case, the god of this world, that's our enemy, right? Little g, god of this world, has blinded the minds of the unbeliever to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. I don't know about you. But when I read this text, I think, oh God, thank you that I'm not still in this condition. It's all Jesus. It's what He did. Man, He reached down one day and He called my name. And I hope every one of you in this room can say that this morning. Listen, there's a decision that each of you will make in this life without fail. And that is the decision to either trust in Christ for your salvation, or you will make a decision to reject Jesus Christ for your salvation and continue to live your life blinded by your enemy. It's a decision that you have to make. Adrian Rogers told a story one time about a young lady that he was sharing the gospel with, and she just couldn't make a decision. She wouldn't make a decision. He said, look, he said, you have to make a decision one way or the other. And she says, no, I'm just not going to make the decision. And he says, to not make a decision is to make a decision. He said, I'll tell you what, if you want to believe in Christ this morning, shake my hand. He said, you either shake my hand or you don't shake my hand. There's two decisions. So trusting in Christ is a decision. And if you're waiting, if you're here this morning and you're not sure that you're saved, if you refuse to trust in Jesus Christ this morning, you are rejecting Him clearly. So let me ask you a question. Have you made the biggest decision in your life? Would you bow with me this morning? Again, I want you to know this is between you and God. Not you and me. I'm just a vessel here. God is just speaking through me this morning. And so he's asking you this morning, if you're not sure that you're saved, if you're not sure that your sin is gone and your Holy Spirit has indwelled you this morning, you can do that right where you sit. You don't have to walk an aisle. You can do it right where you're sitting. So as your heads are bowed this morning, as your eyes are closed, if you're not sure about your salvation this morning, would you just silently, right where you're sitting, would you just say, Father, man, I know I'm a sinner. And Lord, you're holy. And my sin separates me from you. And I don't want to do that anymore. And so, Father, would you save me this morning? I believe that Jesus died on a cross and his blood is powerful enough to take my sin away. And so, Father, would you take my sin, forgive me for my sin, fill me with your Spirit, and help me to be alive to live for you forevermore. And if you're here this morning and you would say, Brother Carl, I know that I'm saved, but man, there's just some things that the Spirit has revealed to me this morning that I need to get right. So whatever that is, would you just take just a couple of seconds right now and say, Father, would you forgive me? Lord, would you help me to spend time in your Word? Would you help me to be devoted to you with everything that I am? So, Father, thank you so much, Lord, for meeting us in this place today. Lord, thank you that you sent Jesus to take all our sin away. Help us now, Father, to live pleasing in your sight. Give us the power, Lord, to overcome this self and this old flesh, to live our lives to give you glory and to give you honor. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope.
Stand as we sing this together.
You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Great.
Your breath in our lungs, so we pour out.
will cry, these bones will sing, great are you, Lord. All the earth will shout your praise, our hearts will cry, these bones will sing, great.
Great day in the Lord's house. Brother, thank you for your word, the word that that you brought to us this morning, the challenge. It's been a good day. It's been a day full of worship and full of just the Lord's presence. So let me pray for us as we leave, and y'all will be dismissed. Lord, again, I thank you for this time we've had to share together. Lord, I thank you for the word that we've heard today. God, may we be walking daily in your presence. May we be growing closer to you. Lord, and may we filter all of our decisions through these questions that we've heard. And God, think about how you would have us to live. God, I thank you for everyone here, God, that just pray that you would be with all of us as we leave. And Lord, again, as I prayed earlier, may we be so filled with your Spirit that it's overflowing with us, out of us, that we have no other option but to tell everyone that we come in contact with. So, Lord, again, I thank you for all that you've done, all that you're doing, and, Lord, all that we know you will do. Above all, Lord, thank you for Jesus. In his name, amen. Have a great week.